Lord's mercy is on you.
The EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network presents
Believe the Impossible and You Can Do the Incredible.
Fulton Sheen,
a prophet for our times.
What a blessing is our faith.
Hello, welcome to our series on Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen, a prophet for our times. I'm Father Andrew Apostoli, a member of the Franciscan Friars of the Renewal. We're here on the beautiful grounds of St. Joseph's Seminary, filming here in the section of Yonkers called Dunwoody. Today, we're going to focus on Bishop Sheen's early teaching career. And it's, again, very fitting that we do so here at the seminary where young priests are taught to prepare themselves for the priesthood, taught their theology and philosophy. Bishop Sheen, when he had such great success in Europe at Louvain and his other studies that he did at the Sorbonne in Paris and the Angelicum in Rome, he thought he was going to take a teaching position. His own bishop had promised him that he could go to Catholic University in America, in Washington, D.C., when he finished his studies. He had also had offers to teach at Columbia University in New York, as well as to teach at St. Edmund's in London. And when he wrote to his bishop about what to accept, his bishop simply said, "Come on home." And to his surprise, his bishop, Bishop Edmund Dunn, appointed him to a little inner-city parish, a little parish on what they call the lower side of Peoria. And he went to that little parish, and here was this greatly talented man who had accomplished so much, being an ordinary parish priest. And he had great success. One of the first things he did was he preached a Lenten series, which started to attract huge numbers of people. People were coming from all the other parishes. In fact, some of the priests in the other parishes began to tell their people, don't go down to that parish on the, you know, lower side of Peoria. Stay here in your own parish, especially when that young priest is preaching. It was a sign of his great appeal as a preacher, something that the whole world would practically come to know. It was also the beginning of, in a sense, some jealousy that would creep in from time to time because of the great success that he had. Not only did he affect the people by his preaching, but also through the confessional. He urged the people to go to communion frequently. And as a result, the number of communicants in that parish rose from 4 to 90 within the short span of the 9 months to a year that he spent there at St. Patrick's Parish. After that time, the bishop called him in and he said, "I'm going to send you to Catholic University to teach." And then Bishop Sheen raised the question. He said, "Bishop, you had promised me that before I went to Europe to study. And I thought that when I'd come home, you know, you would send me immediately to Catholic University. Instead, you sent me to this little parish, inner city parish. Was there a reason?" And the bishop said, "Yes." He said, "Because of all the success you had in Europe and all of the attention given to you, people were saying, will he ever obey again?" So he said, "I sent you to that little parish, and you did obey." And he said, "And I saw that you do it everything that I wanted you to do. So now," he says, "go along," he said, "and begin your teaching career." And that career was to span 24 years. He began in 1926 to teach at the Catholic University in Washington, D.C. At first, he went to join the theology faculty. He was appointed to specifically the work of apologetics. But as he as time went on, he eventually transferred over to the philosophy department, and that's where he remained teaching for 24 years. I remember people telling me how popular he was. I remember speaking to a priest that knew Bishop Sheen as a teacher down there, and he said he himself, as a young seminarian, would just sit in on the bishop's classes. He was not a bishop yet. He was a Monsignor teaching down there. He soon became a Monsignor anyway after he was there, and his classes were just packed. The students were going out the doors. That's how many people he was attracting to his classes there at Catholic University. When Father Sheen was assigned to St. Patrick's Church there in Peoria, in the inner city, editorials began to appear in the newspaper. Why a priest who had achieved such success in learning and had such an ability and a love of teaching, why he was being sent to be just a simple parish priest. And yet Bishop Sheen, Father Sheen at that time, never complained, because he knew that this assignment came through his bishop, and he took it as the will of God. He always looked back on it, and he said that it was his first great test as a priest. It was the test of obedience. And, you know, when we obey, we find our peace of heart. And Father Sheen found peace in doing what the bishop wanted. After all, he looked upon the bishop as a successor of the apostles. And what the bishop wanted, he took as the will of God for his life. He always looked upon teaching as one of the most noble of all vocations, because he said in the end, the final purpose of all education is to lead a person to the knowledge and the love of truth. And that's something that was very important to him. And that's why he took his teaching very, very seriously.
So our Lord says to us, unless you take up your cross daily and follow me, you cannot, not you will not, you cannot be my disciple. Communion, therefore, is not only the taking in the life of Christ, as I explained. In St. Paul, we have the second element of communion. St. Paul says, know you not that as often as you eat of this bread or drink of this chalice, you announce the death of the Lord until he come.
He felt a deep obligation to his students that he had to know his subject matter inside and out. As he said, I wanted to learn my subject not from the outside in, but from the inside out. And he said it was very important that he know the whole of what he was teaching his students, because if they asked questions, he felt an obligation to have to be able to answer their questions in an adequate manner. At the same time, he put this same dedication into preparing his classes. He never used the same notes over again. Every summer, he would go to London, and there he would prepare a whole new set of notes. He said he wanted to be learning as well as teaching. He wanted to continue his own education in that way. And you know, that's remarkable, because later on in his life, when he would give retreats, he would always say, I wanted to give a whole new retreat. You know, start off with some new ideas that I could present. And so that was something, that a discipline that remained with him all through his life. He also, you know, not only did he prepare his notes, but sometimes he would actually give his lectures to some of his friends. He would have them listen to him as he presented a class to them, maybe sometimes even in a foreign language, maybe sometimes in French or even Latin. And it was interesting, because he took a total of 6 hours preparation for each 1 hour of classwork. Later on, he said, when it came to his TV programs, Life is Worth Living, remember, that was all done live. And he said he spent approximately 20 hours. I remember watching this on one of his programs. And he said it took him approximately 20 hours to prepare one half-hour program. So it was something that was in his dedication. He said that teaching was like, for him, it was like a prolongation of proclaiming the Word of God. And he said this was something he wanted to do with all his heart. He loved it so much that he begged God to give him the courage and stamina to be able to go on with his teaching career for the whole of his life. And he even said this. He said, I think that when I die and I meet the Lord, he said, I'm going to take a few days rest up there, then I'm going to ask the Lord if I can come back and continue my work. So he wanted, like a little flower, to spend his heaven doing good upon earth.
I feel he has affected the world in a way that continues. The books that he wrote are still relevant now. In the time of Afghanistan, there are so many references to the type of things we need to remember. He affected the ecumenical world in that he was good friends with many people who were the pillars of other churches, Billy Graham and other people like him. He had a way of being totally disassociated with politics from the point of view, but being a world citizen. He was a man for all seasons in the church.
His teaching career, as I mentioned, spanned about 24 years there at Catholic University, and it gained him a great deal of popularity. But on the weekends, he also would go off and spend time lecturing. He went to different cities, and he would speak to large groups of people, sometimes as many as 10,000 people at a time. And these lectures in these various cities made him very popular. Later on, he even gave lecture series in late 20s in Westminster Cathedral in London. Sometimes he would go off and give other lectures in different places. Even he preached the Lenten series in St. Patrick's Cathedral. He would also finally spend some of his weekends, when he was not teaching, he would spend it giving classes to his converts. He would go up to New York City, and there he would have a number of people. Sometimes it reached as many as 500 people who were under instruction at any one time to become converts to the faith. And so he would spend even his weekends teaching. That's how much he was dedicated to proclaiming the word of God. He is a wonderful example of the evangelization that we are all being called to at this time in the church's history, to proclaim Christ anew. And he was a voice that certainly proclaimed Jesus with clarity, conviction, and dedication. His love of Christ, his love of the truth, his love of others to know Jesus was a driving force in his life. As if Bishop Sheen's demanding teaching schedule and his formal classes at Catholic University and his lectures in the various cities he went to on the weekends and even his convert classes in New York, if that wasn't enough, Bishop Sheen also had another major part of his apostolate of evangelization going on at the same time. We're going to take a look at that when we return.
Jesus Christ, Son of the Father, send now your Spirit over the earth. Let the Holy Spirit live in the hearts of all nations, that they may be preserved from degeneration, disaster, and war. May the Lady of all nations, who once was Mary, be our advocate. Amen.
Let's return to Fulton Sheen, a prophet for our times, on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
In this segment, we're going to talk about Archbishop Fulton Sheen in his role as the National Director for the Propagation of the Faith. He was given that position in 1950 by Pope Pius XII, and he was to be in that position until 1966 when he was appointed the Bishop of Rochester, New York, the Diocese of Rochester. Bishop Sheen worked right here in New York City, but in a sense, the world was his field of apostolate, because he was to be in charge of the missions, through the work of the United States, anyway, in its contribution to the foreign missions of the whole world. He used to say that the missions was his first love. He had worked so hard to bring unity in the country between peoples of different religions. You know, he was very far ahead in his sense of ecumenism and its importance of cooperation among all Christians and acceptance between Christians and Jews and Muslim peoples. He also worked for racial equality and respect for each person, regardless of race, ethnic background, and the like. And so these qualities that he took to try to build unity among people here in the United States, now he tried to do it on a worldwide scale as the director, national director of the propagation of the faith. In his work, he coordinated especially the collection of funds to support many thousands of various missionaries. I think it was 300,000 missionaries, 150,000 schools, thousands of hospitals, orphanages, even leper colonies throughout the world that were supported by his work. They estimated that in his years as the head of the propagation of the faith, he probably, because of his popularity, as well as the revenues from his writings, his books, from his TV programs, radio programs, all that he took in, he gave to the congregation for the propagation of the faith. And they estimated that he probably brought in $100 million in all of those years. So he certainly was very, very effective in this work. He knew that the needs of the people, there's two kinds of needs or poverty that he sensed. He said the poverty of most of the world, the third world countries, is the poverty of food and clothing and shelter. But he said the poverty in the Western world was the poverty of materialism. It was a kind of spiritual poverty. And so he knew that just as in Christ there was the, you know, the humanity and the divinity, so he knew you had to bring the spiritual into the lives of people as well as the material needs, meeting the material needs. And this he certainly was very much like Mother Teresa of Calcutta, who certainly worked in so many third world countries to bring the gospel message, to, you know, give food and clothing. As she said, though, that the poverty in the third world countries could be satisfied with a piece of bread, a garment to wear. But the poverty, she said, in the first world countries, she said that that was a starvation for God and for love of other people, because materialism was making us turn so much into ourselves. Bishop Sheen frequently visited the missions. In his autobiography, he tells of his various travelings that he did in the mission countries, and he visited in Asia, in Africa, he visited in Australia. He talks about one time right after World War II, where Bishop Sheen had, gone on to a pilgrimage or a journey with Cardinal Spellman. They started off in Australia, where Cardinal Spellman announced to the people, he said, here is Bishop Sheen, who has probably done more for the missions of the church than any other person, and is certainly loved and esteemed in America as an evangelist and bringing the gospel message. They visited places in the Far East. He was in China. He had met and had meals with Generalissimo Chiang Kai-shek and his wife. They met General MacArthur and Admiral Griffith, famous American military leaders that were out there in the Far East. And everywhere he spoke to various crowds of people, sometimes 10,000 people and more would come out to hear him preach the Word of God, to be inspired by this truly holy man, and a man with a powerful message, a message of a prophetic person. And he stirred the people. In his work, he came to certain situations where he was deeply inspired. In one of his stories, he tells where he was in a place called Babula, Africa. And he said he met about 500 lepers. And he had taken along 500 silver crosses. And he said the first leper came up to him. He was going to give a cross, the symbol of Christ's suffering, symbol of Christ's love for us. He was going to give one of those crosses to each of the lepers. Well, the first leper who came up to him, he said the poor man's left arm had been eaten away up to the elbow by his leprosy. And so the leper put out his right hand, and the hand was filled with also with leprosy. And Bishop Sheen described it in his autobiography. He says this was the most horrifying, noisome thing I had ever seen, he said. He said, and when I went to put the cross, he said, I held it over the man's hand and I
dropped it into his hand. And as soon as he did that, he realized that that was not the thing to do, and that he put his hand right into the man's hand that was a leper and held it tightly. And the leper was, you know, he said, you had to realize that, you know, this was one of God's creatures and God's soul, and that he wanted to join with him and to let him know that God loved him. And you could do that by that sense of touch where other people would shun him, that he wanted to commune with him.
Powerful, powerful story. Another story he tells is that when he took over as the head of the propagation of the faith with his office right here on Fifth Avenue, we're making our way down toward that office right now. He tells us that one of the first visitors he received was a visitor from Pakistan. He was a missionary bishop who had gone to Pakistan. He was from Italy, and during the time of the Second World War, he was put into prison, and he was told that he would be in prison until the end of the war. He got a visit from a young girl, and it was a young girl who had been a Hindu. He had converted, this bishop had converted her to the Catholic faith. And she told him, while she visited him in prison, she said to him, "Bishop, you will only be here 6 months. Then you will be set free, and you will be permitted to carry out your work as a bishop." And the bishop said to the young girl, she was only 12 years old, said, "How do you know? How do you know this is going to happen?" She said, "I have offered my life for you and for your work." 6 months later, the authorities, the prison, came to his cell and opened the cell and told him, "You are free to leave and you are free to carry on your work as a bishop." The first thing the bishop did when he left his prison was to go to the home of this young girl, Clara, her name was Clara Mark, and he found out from her parents that she had died that morning. So she had given her life for his. What a remarkable story of courage and of generosity and love. We find sometimes that among the poor, you know, the very poor can be people who to us seem to have nothing, but what little they have, they give it so generously. Mother Teresa used to tell many stories like that. Stories, for example, of the Hindu woman who had six children, and mother came with about six of her sisters, and they visited this woman and brought her a 10-pound bag of rice. And while mother was with the little children, the woman sort of disappeared, and they didn't know where she went, and a bag of rice went with her. And that woman came back a few minutes later, and the bag of rice was now half empty. And Mother Teresa said to this Hindu woman, "Where did you go?" And the Hindu woman said, "Mother, I went across the street to see a Muslim family. There was a mother there and six children. And she said, I gave half of the bag of rice to them because they were as hungry as we are." Those who have so little can be so very, very generous. And that's why Bishop Sheen knew that there was great sanctity and there, you know, a kind of charity among these people. And he said that he believed, especially as he said, as time went on in his work, traveling around the world, he said, "I began to realize there was a unity among all of the human, you know, of all people, of the human race. It was a basic unity." And he said Christ was already in some way present among these people. Doesn't St. John say, you know, that we have to have charity? Wherever there's charity, God is present, because God is love. So wherever there is love, there is already the certain aspects of the gospel. And so he used to say that as we evangelize, we are going to where Christ has already been, in a sense, spiritually ahead of us. They don't know the message of Christ. That's what we bring them, he said, and evangelize them. A couple of times, in 1960 and 1961, Bishop Sheen was invited by Pope John the 23rd to co-consecrate with him a dozen or more missionary bishops. And I remember when he ordained me in 1967, he said to me, "You are the first priest I have ordained since the Vatican Council." Well, the council had ended a year or two before. I was ordained in 67, the council ended in 65. But he also said, "I have consecrated three times as many bishops as I have ordained priests." And that probably was due to the fact that he would consecrate so many missionary bishops. So Bishop Sheen was certainly very blessed in his mission, his apostolate of carrying on the work of the missions. And his notoriety, his fame, brought a great deal of focus on this wonderful work of the missions of the church. As he said, they were his first love, and he never forgot them. Even when he had become bishop there in Rochester, he always remembered the work of the missions. He had a heart that wanted to embrace the world. The world was his field of apostolic work. We can thank God that the Lord raised up such a wonderful man to inspire all of us in the work of the missions. We're all missionaries in the sense that the word missionary comes from the Latin mitere, missus, the verb to send. And a missionary is one who's sent by God. And Bishop Sheen inspires us, to all of us in our own lives, to undertake our missionary call from God, in the sense that we are called by Him and sent by Him to proclaim Jesus in the world today. May the Lord give you His grace.
For more audio and videotapes by Archbishop Sheen, contact Keep the Faith Foundation at www.keepthefaith.org, or write to Keep the Faith Foundation, 50 South Franklin Turnpike, Ramsey, New Jersey, 07446.
Join us again next week at this time when Father Andrew Apostoli examines the life and work of Archbishop Fulton Sheen, here on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.